91 years ago this coming Friday morning, a train pulled out of the Philadelphia terminal. It was a special train, an excursion train. The passengers were in a mood of anticipation. They talked of the long war, the hard-won victories, the ceremonies they were going to attend that afternoon at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and of the men who would speak the words of dedication, especially the one man, and quite naturally, because he was the President of the United States.
This is Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. Stories out of that great fabric of visions, struggles, and accomplishments of the American past. Stories of our inheritance. We return now in time to a moment in our history, a moment which shall be the beginning of today's story from our inheritance.
Papa, does he look like his photographs?
Well, I'd say he looks more like the humorous drawings I've seen, the cartoons. His arms are too long for his body, which heaven knows is long enough, and his head is a knob to hang a coonskin cap on.
Oh, Papa, oh, forgive me, but I've seen his photographs, and there is something about him.
All right, my dear. If he is a hero of yours, I won't tease you about him. I suppose on his way to becoming president, he must have had some good rub off on him.
Some good rub off on him? Yes, you could say that. And some bad, too, in the process of growing up to be Abraham Lincoln. 50-odd years back in this trail that led to the White House, a lonesome cabin heard a girl singing. The cabin stood near the Wilderness Road in the new territory of Kentucky, on a section of land known to the Indians as the Bloody Ground.
Oh, well, come in, then. I see you ain't a redskin, and I can forgive anything else.
What are you doing sitting there like that?
I'm paring an apple now.
Yeah. I'm sorry I scared you, but I had to come in. I seen you at meeting, ain't I?
You might.
You're Nancy Hanks.
Yeah. You're the one sits by the door.
Yep.
This ain't meeting. You can sit by the fire if you want.
I never heard you talk before.
You scared me into it, I reckon.
Can I pare your apple for you?
Much obliged. You're hunting a wife, they say. Are you?
I reckon I am, if they say so.
What happened to Sarah Bush?
She's marrying Daniel Johnson instead.
Yeah, I know.
What'd you ask me for if you know?
We're fighting just like we was old friends.
Hey, ain't nothing old in these parts but the Bible, I reckon.
You ain't so young for an unmarried man.
I'm 28. How old are you?
I'm 23.
You promised?
No.
Widow?
No.
Here's your apple.
Will you have half?
Nope, I got something to say. Miss Hanks, we're both too old for being single. Best way to cure that's to get married. I'm strong. I don't get winded easy. I'm a good carpenter. I can make a fine cabinet or a chest, and I can frame and finish a house out of green timber. I've got a good reputation. I can tell a funny yarn when I'm in the humor, and I can read and write. What do you got?
Are you asking me to marry you?
Well, I've got it in the back of my mind.
Would you write on this what my name would be if we got married?
Why, sure. Is it all right if I clear the table off?
Sure. Do you want to sit?
No, I grip better standing. Yeah.
Mrs. Thomas Lincoln. Do you want me to marry you?
If you got what it takes to make it a partnership.
What does it take?
Well, you should be strong, healthy, willing, cook so clean. And if you could sing, it'd help, seeing as you can't write.
Is that all?
I reckon. Make a home and family a man don't have to be ashamed of. That's all.
That's all? Don't a man and woman need other things? Things that you can't touch or see or even hear?
Ain't nothing like that. But God.
I want, like the song says, hope in things to come and faith in man and charity and I want love everlasting.
I reckon I see what's bothering you. I can't say to you I love you. And I've watched you pray in meeting. I have felt a drumming in my chest fit to crack me, but I don't know if that's love. And out here we ain't got time to find out. Well, I've had my say now, and I'll go. I wish for you that someone can ask you soon the way you want to be asked. I think you could be a good wife. Goodbye, ma'am.
Goodbye. Why did you come here tonight?
Oh, it was kind of foolish. I was following my dream.
Did it have a fence around it?
No. No, in my dream, I walked on a road and I come to a house. In the house, by the fireplace, was a girl peeling an apple, and she was to be my wife. Tonight, I really saw the road, and I found the house. That's why I had to come in when you didn't answer my knocking.
Mr. Lincoln, I'll be your partner just the way you want it to be.
You mean you'll marry me?
I do.
Why? Thank you, ma'am. I sure am obliged to you. Goodbye. I reckon I should kiss you.
I reckon you should wait till you know me better. Sweet, I roamed from field to field and tasted all the summer's pride. Till I the prince.
Oh, good night.
Oh, is this home?
Yep.
Oh, it looks real pretty in the moonlight. Would you help me down?
Wait. In my family, the bride always gets carried into her new house. I'd like to carry you, if you don't mind.
That'd be nice.
Grab a hold.
Right?
Hold still, Goliath. I sure admired your singing, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Lincoln.
Well, my goodness, I forgot. Come on, Goliath. All right. I forgot to put you away for the night. Emma?
Yeah?
Tom Lincoln wants to buy that parcel of land the other side of the road with them wild apple trees on it. Him that married Nancy Hank 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I don't think I ought to take a chance on him.
Yeah.
Everybody says you can trust him with anything.
Yeah.
He'll build on it if he buys. That means that I'll have as good a house as you can get if you don't finish paying off. And I have to take it back.
Yeah.
He's a good farmer, too. He'll do the land good.
Yeah.
You're right. I'll take the chance on it. You got good sense, Emma.
Tom?
Yes, Nancy.
What'd we get?
A boy.
Oh, I'm glad. Are you?
Yep. We're a real family now. I got land, a cow, a horse, a grown daughter, and a son. Let's call him Abraham.
Abraham. Abraham Lincoln. That's nice.
Make way, Abe. You've got a hungry man here for breakfast.
Did you kick the bucket and spill the milk, Pappy?
Nope. Here, shall I pour it through the strainer, Nancy?
Just put it there. Tom, Sarah's helping. You set for breakfast with Mr. Dalton. I'm ready to serve it up. Stop jumping around like a redskin, Abe.
Hey, come on and sit by me, Abe, and you won't get underfoot.
Will you do? I'm a ringtail roarer if I do.
Don't you make him do it again, Abe. He did it for you six times before you went to bed last night.
Well, I'll do it just this once if you'll eat all your breakfast, Abe.
All right, I will.
Let me pass you, Tom.
Yeah,
right.
Shall I do the kettle for you?
Here
no,
I go.
I don't need no more help. You sit down there, Sarah. You too, Abe. Come
say
on.
Say it, Mr. Dalton.
I'm a Knob Creek roarer. I'm a ringtail squealer. I'm a regular screamer from the old Mississippi. Yahoo! I'm half wild horse and half cockeyed alligator, and the rest of me is crooked snags and red hot snapping turtle. I got the roughest rocking horse, the prettiest sister, the surest rifle, and the ugliest dog in the district. I can whip my weight in wildcats, ride straight through a crabapple orchard on a streak of lightning, and take an occasional kick from a zebra, hug a bear too close for comfort, and eat any boy that don't gobble up his breakfast.
Yeah, you finish your grits, because he means that.
All right.
Mr. Dalton.
Yeah.
Is there schools in that Indiana homestead land you told us about?
No, Nancy. We talked about that last night. We can't go homesteading with you and the children.
Lots of people has.
They have. And they've either killed themselves or whittled themselves down to old people at 35. And what do you get out there that we ain't got here?
Sounds like easier farming land, and it is cheap land. And it's new land.
Why, that Indiana land is so new, it grows corn 20 feet high and 10 ears to the stalk. Potatoes the size of ordinary watermelon. And pumpkins so big that it takes two men and a team of horses to just harvest one of them.
That's the tallest one yet. Now, I can't say that I believe
it. Well, then divide it by two and it's still worth a try.
I believe it. Good. Now tell the story about the time you swallowed the bolt of lightning.
Oh. Abe, get on with your eating.
Well, I gotta be getting. Now remember, the land's only $2 an acre. Out there, the air's fresher, the men's stronger, trees taller, and the game is so big that the feathers from one wild turkey will make a whole feather bed with enough for two pillars left over.
No, I don't aim to start over again. I got my land almost cleared, the cattle shed, and my house lot all fenced in. Made it all myself, so I know it's good.
There's something here that ain't right for us somehow.
How's that?
We almost lost the land in court. The title wasn't clean. We got it back, but it might happen again. Last spring, the creek riz out of its bed and carried our whole planting off and set it down we don't know where.
These are things that happen once and won't happen again.
Well, if you change your mind, I'll be real glad to see you.
No, Mr. Dalton, we're taking good root here. We Lincolns are going to do some real growing right here in Kentucky. Thomas Lincoln.
Claim?
Pigeon Creek, Indiana. Southwest quarter of section 32, town 4 south, range 5 west.
You going down to settle there now?
No, I'm going back to Kentucky to get my family. Nancy. You should be in bed. You've been doing a man's work all day.
You're working too late, Tom.
Yeah, I got to work while we got this full moon so I can get a roof over us.
Ain't that much hurry. It's good weather now and warm.
But we don't know when we'll get the rains. And I don't like you and the children without shelter.
But we all knew this when we started, and we're ready for it.
Hey, I don't know why I ever did it. I wanted to make things so good and safe for all of you. And I had everything to do it with in Kentucky. But it was something that kept drawing me out here, much as I'd fight.
Now, we're going to make out fine, Tom. Don't you worry so.
I can't keep from worrying because I love you so bad.
Tom.
Reckon that's a funny thing for a woman to hear for the first time from a man that she's been married to this long.
No, Tom.
Nancy, I always figured if a man hadn't loved when he was 20, the time for it was past, and he had to take on the business of living. After we was married, I was ashamed that I was always thinking of you. I couldn't get your voice or face or touch out of my head. And I tried, because it seemed light and unresponsible for a man my age and a father. Then it got so strong that I kept running back to the house for things that I didn't need so as I could get a sight of you.
Tom, could you hold me while you're telling?
I ain't sure I can think straight if I do, but I'd like to risk it.
Oh, Tom. Finish your telling.
Are you thinking I can remember about telling now?
You was up to where you was coming home during the day.
All right. By then I knew that it had come to stay, so I figured I should tell you. But I didn't want the first time to be like I was just saying it. I wanted you to know that it was real. Why, when I was alone, I could see you like you wasn't meeting before I met you, or cooking or mending with the light on your hair, or when we went bathing in the creek on moony nights.
Oh, Tom.
Nancy Lincoln, I love you. You're more than house, food, or reputation. You're the warmth from the fire. You're the sound of birds at night and in the morning tracks in new snow. The smell of applewood from the fire. You're the bite that's in the air in October and the gentle that's in the rain in April. There ain't a minute that I don't want you with me.
Oh, Tom. Tom, my darling.
Darling. Oh, Nancy, darling. I never said that before. Has a good taste to it, darling. And I don't feel like such an old fool saying it.
Tom, let me talk now.
I'm sorry. The words had been storing up so long. I reckon they just had to come out.
And I'm happy you said them, Tom, but you have said bad things about yourself that ain't true. When you spoke for me, for your wife, you said anything you couldn't see or touch didn't count in your life. I would have let you go. Much as it hurt, if you hadn't said it wasn't true with your very next breath.
I did.
Yes, you did.
Where?
When you said you had followed a dream. The way you said it, I knew you had faith inside yourself that the dream would come true. And now you've proved it to yourself by packing up and coming out here to Indiana where the country is still fresh and the people haven't stopped growing. And by bringing yourself to tell me that you love me. Even though I knew it from the night you lifted me off Goliath and carried me into our first house.
Nancy.
You had all the things you thought were what it takes to live, but now you've made up your mind that owning things and having a strong lock on them ain't your kind of living.
Nancy, darling, you sure must be in love with me, or else the moon's blinded you and you're seeing things in me that ain't there.
No, I ain't, Tom.
Why, man's a fool to bet on things he can't see.
Tom, you may talk wrong and foolish, but when you have to do, you're a man who does what is right. And I'm awful glad you're my man.
Nancy, I do love you.
Abe. Put on your shoes and go down to the holler and get Mrs. Willard's to come over and stay till I feel better.
Mammy, have you got the milk sick too?
Of course not, Abe. I'm just tuckered from taking care of Aunt Bitsy and Uncle Tom Sparrow.
Will you die like them, Mammy?
Don't talk foolish, Abe. Now go on. Get yourself an apple to eat on the way over.
What is it, Abe?
I wasn't sure it was you. I come to help. I'd have been here before, but I seen some deer at the Salt Lake, and I didn't want to frighten them.
They come through here just before you did.
I've seen their tracks across here lots of times.
Yeah.
I'm glad. It'll be company for her out here. She always liked to see them. She loved the farms when they were still all spotty.
Reach me the grub hoe, Abe.
Pappy, are you lonesome?
I reckon.
I am, too. Even yesterday when she couldn't talk to us, I didn't feel this way.
Come here, Abe.
Will she be cold out here?
No, Abe.
Let's build a fence around here for her. We ought to build a fence around our house clearing, too. We mustn't ever leave here now. We can't move any more west because she'd be alone if we did. And maybe you'd die of the milk sick from the hard work of building another new home. We got things good and safe here now. And if we're careful, nothing will come and get us like it did Mammy. I want her to be safe. Don't you, Pappy?
Abe, you're talking like a little old man. You're a boy. My boy, I don't want you to be an old man yet.
I'm your boy. I'll stay with you, Pappy.
You're a good boy, Abe. Your mammy did have to work too hard. It's my blame. But fences ain't going to help none. Sometimes a fence is a real good thing, but a man's got to know how to use a fence. If he ain't careful, it'll make him forget there's something on the other side of it.
Oh.
You can get awful lonesome and useless behind a fence. And she wouldn't like for us to stay here just to be near her. If a time comes when we can do better or help more by moving on, then we'll do it. A lot of folks has died preparing the way for other folks to live out here. There's something great coming for the ones that live on this land, and we got to help see that it's ready. Mammy and those other dead folks are proud that they've done their part. Now the duty has fell to us, the living, to see that they didn't die in vain. You understand me, Abe?
No, Pappy. But I'll think on it.
Well, you hand me that spade, Abe.
Fourscore and 7 years ago, our forefathers brought forth in this. Take increased devotion to that cause for which they here gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Well, are you comfortable, my dear?
Quite, thank you, Papa. Did you enjoy your cigar?
Yes, indeed, thank you. And while I was gone, I did some thinking. You know, your hero did very well.
He did look crude and awkward, as he said he would. But there is something about
him. Yeah, you're right. He was on the platform with the greatest speaker in the country. And he said more in his 10 minutes than the other fellow said in an hour.
I still find it hard to believe that so much gentleness, forgiveness, love, and greatness can come from that big, plain-looking, shabby man.
Yeah. How can a scarecrow out of the backwoods find such thoughts and put them together for the understanding of men?
The true understanding of men is not in their minds, but in their hearts. The good and the bad that rubbed off on little Abe Lincoln was remembered and kept in a heart of infinite understanding and eagerness to give. And what he gave is America's to keep, Not only now, 91 years to the week after he spoke at Gettysburg, but as long as the nation endures.
You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. And now it's our privilege to hear from a National Vice Commander of the Legion, Mr. Ray Murphy, past National Commander. Mr. Murphy.
In November of 1863, at the dedication of a military cemetery at Gettysburg, President Lincoln's unforgettable words were uttered. "We are met on a great battlefield. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place of those who gave their lives that this nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate. We cannot consecrate. We cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far beyond our power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. In June of 1954, nearly 100 years later, President Eisenhower, in proclaiming Veterans Day, said, 'Let us solemnly remember the sacrifices of all those who fought so valiantly on the seas, in the air, and on foreign shores to preserve our heritage of freedom. And let us reconsecrate ourselves to the task of promoting an enduring peace, so that their efforts shall not have been in vain.' Last week, on Thursday, November 11, we, the people of the United States, did observe Veterans Day for the first time in our history. The American Legion, a veterans organization of nearly 3 million members, takes this opportunity to salute all living veterans who fought to preserve our American way of life and to observe a moment of silent prayer for those who gave their lives to secure our precious inheritance."
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Next week, Inheritance will again take you on a journey through the pages of American history. Today's story was written by Carl Swenson. Original music was written and conducted by Roy Scheel. Carl Weber was heard as Tom, Terry Keane as Nancy, Nelson Armstead as the narrator. Others in the cast were Joan Lazer, Julian Noah, Kerry Joels, Bill Griffiths, Raymond E. Johnson, and Fred Irving Lewis. Inheritance was produced by Wade Arnold and directed by Fred Way. This is Bill Hanrahan speaking.
Enjoy fine variety entertainment on the Dennis Day Show today over most NBC radio stations.